Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. It's time for another episode of the King for a Day podcast. Time to do a little jive talking. I've got some guests today that I want to bring on. First of all, if you'll join me in welcoming Curtis Thrasher, owner of the Made Men. Curtis, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rick. It's a pleasure.
No problem. Now, we do have Brian Koch coming on, the Old Helm Ogres owner. He's going to be joining us shortly. In the meantime, why don't we go ahead and talk about yourself and your time in the league. You're the owner of the Made Men, as I said. Believe it or not, you're entering your 10th season in King for a Day. You started back in 2002, went through 2005, took a little break between 2006 and 2009, and been back since 2010. So 10 years. Happy anniversary.
Thanks, man. It's been a good ride. You know, it's been fun every year. And I always look forward to, you know, the draft in August. You know, that's when it's almost like a second Christmas. It's always a good time of year to know that I get to start looking through football stats and start running stuff down and getting together with the guys and have a little fun.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about your thoughts, kind of the fun part of the game and your strategy and all of that good stuff. Tell you what I'd like to do while we're waiting for Brian. Pardon me. Why don't you tell me, a lot of guys have meanings for the way that they name their team. For instance, my team, the Gators, was actually named after my daughter. I used to call her the Abigator and kind of warp that into the Gators. So what is your name derived from? Where did you get that?
I didn't know that about your team name. That's cool. My name comes from, anybody that knows me knows I have a big love for gangster movies and mob books and stuff like that. And it was a book that I read when I was, had to be 15, 16 years old, called The Made Men. And it's about a guy that was an informant in the mafia, and just about all his tales and stuff that he did, all the stuff that he did. And when you were talking about team names and stuff like that, I wanted something that sounded, you know, kind of brutish, but, you know, respectful at the same time, so I kind of stole that name from the book and used it ever since.
You wanted to strike fear in your opponents. I get it.
Exactly.
Why don't I go ahead, because I have no idea when Brian's going to come in, so we'll just take him whenever he does come in. Until then, why don't we start to talk a little bit about the different questions I had lined up for today. For instance, going through your now coming on 10 years of being in the league, do you have a favorite rival or rivals? Anybody that you love facing every year? And it's all right if it's more than one.
I know it's always fun to aim because we're brother-in-laws and stuff like that. It's always fun to verse you, even though sometimes we don't end up in the same conference. But for whatever reason, me and Gar have been having some really good games the past couple of years.
Yeah, and Gar Nelson of the Bierman's Brawlers. I just want to mention that. And I'm going to bring Brian in if you hold that thought for one moment. I apologize.
Sure.
And here he is, the owner of the Old Helm Ogres, Brian Cox. Brian, thanks for joining the show, man. So what are you, a woman? You make fashionably late here?
What are you talking about? Ogre smash.
Ogre smash. Listen, man, you're late to the party, so Kurt's already digging in. We're going to circle back with you and ask you the same questions. But right now, Kurt's telling everybody about his favorite rival or rivals. So he was mentioning that Gar Nelson of the Bierman's Brawlers has been doing some going to battle with him pretty much of late. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, me and Gar, past two or three seasons, we even have had some really close games, and it's always been one season is where he broke my undefeated streak, and then I think one of the other seasons I broke his undefeated streak. So it's been fun. It's always fun to see him coming up on the schedule and seeing what our teams do against each other.
Thank you, Brian. Here's the deal. I'm going to catch you up real quick. Kurt, by the way, is entering his 10th season. Wish him happy anniversary. I don't know if it's – what are you bringing the 10th anniversary? Hopefully a title. Brian, your original owner, you are entering your 17th season in the league. Believe it or not, since 1999, you've been there with the league.
That's
not impressed by that.
I am. You know, I mean, if you look at it, I'm 42 years old, and you look at 17 years, that's almost half my life right there. So, yeah, that's a scary thought. My most impressive thing in my resume is team for a day.
Well, listen, team names we talked about, Kurt and I, one of the things that people often have some special meaning to their names. So Kurt and I talked about our team names. Why don't you tell us about how you came up with Old Helm Ogres? It's very unique.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, when I was a kid, there was a game that I played called Blood Bowl. And, you know, it was one of my favorite teams to play. Blood Bowl was a game that was a fantasy, fantasy football, with orcs, goblins, minotaurs, elves, and dwarves, and what have you. And basically, you just had a big mosh pile of arms and legs and everything else kicking and flailing everywhere. And your goal in that game was to go ahead and score 3 touchdowns and win the game. But there was a team in there called Old Helm Ogres, which I was always attached to because there's always the biggest and baddest and the stupidest guys out there. So I went with that name as a childhood memory.
Well, that's a good story, man. See, I can't wait to have other guys come on and share the same thing that you guys just did. It's kind of cool to hear where the inspirations came from for the different names. Tell you what, one more question, Brian, and then you're back up to speed with Kurt and I. What is your favorite rival or rivals in King for a Day?
And you know, that's a tough one. I don't think I really have a specific favorite, but there's just certain games that you remember against certain, teams. And I think that's what really I think that's what really helps me enjoy the game to that next level. I don't really have, again, one specific or two specific people that I don't want to say we're dislike or anything like that. I just have any rivalry, intention with. But, you know, every year, you know, you go ahead and when you come up against a team and you have a little bit of a memory there, you know, this guy beat me, you know, last year by 2 points or just what have you. I think I enjoy that mainly as opposed to any specific, team that I, like or dislike most.
Well, I got to throw this out there because I know for myself, Sean Van Hemmert, rest in peace, Sean. Sean was kind of the measuring stick. He was so good at fantasy football, and I always – those matches that I got a chance to play against him were always just kind of, you know, you really, really wanted to win. Anybody I faced in the title game, that would be all right. But let's move on. Let's get some more info about you guys, okay? So, King for a Day, what is it about King for a Day that makes the league special to you? So let's go over to Kurt first, give him a chance to talk a little bit. A lot of guys talk about loving King for a Day. What is it that makes it special to you?
I'd have to say the live draft. I think that's the coolest thing about the league. That's the thing that I look forward to every year. You know, so many other leagues just do it online, and then you don't get, you know, the guys either auto-draft or they just plain don't show up for the draft. And the fact that we got, you know, 24 guys that are willing to show up on the same day every year and, you know, just hang out and, you know, have fun, that's what makes it special. You know, I mean, it almost makes you feel like you're a real GM, you know, drafting real players and stuff like that. So that's what makes it, you know, special to me, and that's what I love about the league. You know, I can't think of any other leagues that actually sit down and do a live draft. And, even if they did do it, I don't think they'd do it like we do.
Brian, what do you got to say to that one? What makes King for a Day special to you?
Well, I think you kicked it off at the top of the show with me when you talked to me real quickly. And, you know, you said 17 years with the league. I mean, to me, that is, absolutely remarkable. And, you know, when you really break it down to the numbers, and I don't know if you've got the exact numbers. I know you do, Rick. But to go ahead and break down the exact numbers as far as how many ball players do we have with us from the beginning. I think a little bit more than half the league, like 13 people, are with us from day one. And that, to me, is amazing. You know, you just don't see that together. I mean, you know, Rick, you and I have been a part of leagues that have lasted, you know, for a year, maybe 2 years, 3 years, and then all of a sudden they disappeared, where the league just isn't attracted anymore. So, you know, bottom line here is what I'm really driving at is the competitiveness with everybody, just the familiar faces year in and year out. You know, to me, I think that's what makes the league that much more special.
Well, I think it's worth throwing out, too, right now, is that for all the guys that weren't there the first couple of years, and I consider original owners to be anybody who goes all the way back to that dingy bar, Tom's aunt, Carol. Oh, my God. I think some third world countries were in better shape than that room and the war that was going on outside. Gads, man, that was some rough stuff. But we didn't know back then if we'd be able to keep this league going, if we didn't know if we'd have enough owners. You know, it wasn't until probably our third or fourth year that it, you know, we had a solid following of guys that were coming back, and we started to solidify the last of the spots that, you know, you always have a handful of guys every year that you'd be worried about in the past, and we started to secure really good owners, and they've all made their mark on the league, even if they weren't there in the beginning. So we just, anybody who had to sit through those early days in the bar, they kind of get the original owner nod.
Yeah, that was a great time back then. You know, I mean, I think they only did the bar for the first 2 years, maybe 3 years tops. But, yeah, that was some top-notch times there. I remember the time I had to use the restroom. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'll never visit that one again.
It's all pipes, as Costanza would say. Well, listen, guys, let's move on. What's your favorite memory? Let's go to Kurt first. What's one of your favorite memories? If you want to go too, fine. Just, you know, what are some of your best memories about King for a Day?
I'd have to say probably the, and this was just a couple of years ago, probably the first time that I beat you, Rick, is one of my favorites. And
thanks a lot, man.
Well, no, I'll second that motion. 2003, let's look back in the record book.
There's like five, six guys out there going, that's nothing. I beat this guy all the time. Really, that's what you got?
No, but I mean, because you're the one that brought me into the league. I remember you gave me the book to read about fantasy football, and you showed me how to do my draft sheets and stuff like that. So, and I mean, a lot of the years before then, you had beat me and stuff like that. So it was kind of like a coming of age moment for me, to finally beat you, you know, and show that, you know, I definitely learned from you.
I remember actually, Pete, I remember showing you that book now that you mention it, and that was kind of the book that I read a lot about. But, Brian, why don't we head over to you? What are some of your favorite books?
Well, I just said a few moments ago.
Beating me, too?
2003, the championship game. That was my big moment. You know, I think that was a year four in the league. You know, so to me, that was a huge, huge you know, staple point for me. But to go ahead and obviously in recent years, I mean, you know, some of the best memories are just, you know, I remember my daughter coming up, you know, when she was a little tot, coming to those drafts with us. And, you know, now she's 21 years old. And I mean, I remember when she was probably at the age of 7 years old until she was probably 12, maybe 13, when she used to come to us or come with us to those drafts. And, you know, I always gave her applause, you know, as far as being able to stick it out for those long days. I mean, it's not like I would just show up for the first draft and then disappear. I mean, I was there from beginning to the end.
You know, you're making me laugh here because you used to drive me nuts. You'd, like, write hieroglyphics on the draft board every year. I'd have to decipher what players you were picking. Guys putting jersey numbers down. How do I know what that is? Rachel would go up there and she'd write whatever you
tell her.
Still
did that last year. Last year, you know, it's still there. You know, we did number 27 for Eddie Lacy, and you know, trust me, I'm already got some brainstorming going on for my next couple tricks up my sleeve.
Yeah, well, you keep up your sleeve there, pal. You're the reason why every draft I start out with first initial, last name, position, city.
Hey,
well, listen, I'm going to move on
go ahead,
here. Is there a strategy? This one's going out to start with Brian here. Is there a strategy that you go by each year? For example, you know, wait on quarterbacks. These are generic things that guys will do, not any my strategy or yours, but it'll help everybody identify on the question. Wait on quarterbacks. Take running backs early. Lock in a defensive line early. Are there any strategies that you subscribe to?
You know, I usually go with a linebacker, one of the top two linebackers in those first, two or three picks. My first pick overall, or my first pick, in the first round, one of the best strategies that I found is trading away that first round pick. You know, picking up some, early, third round, fourth round, fifth round, and maybe a sixth round pick in there, and giving up that first round pick and giving picks back in order to do that. I remember that there was a year where I traded away the first round pick and the second round pick, and didn't have a pick until the third round. I think I did fairly well that year. I'd have to look back in the records, but overall, you know, that is a strategy that that I like and that I find to be very useful.
Load up on middle round picks. Kurt, what do you got? Any strategies you like?
I usually like to get a quarterback within the first two rounds, unless there's a player that I feel majorly confident about. I remember I took Megatron with the first pick a couple years ago. That worked out really well for me. But I usually like to go get a quarterback in the first couple rounds. I think because the NFL is such a passing league and stuff like that it does benefit you. But I mean, with the way I know Brian always does pretty good when he drafts a linebacker in the first two or three rounds. So that's something I always consider.
Well, you know what's funny? Tom Buckles, Pale Riders. Every year he takes, you think he was the first guy to draft a defensive player in the first round. I always say I have these ideas like, I think I'll take, bang, bang, back-to-back defensive players. But I never have the guts to do it. And Tom will pull the trigger on stuff like that. He'll take that shot, and you got to respect that. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about that, too, how you have to be, Brian's talking about trading those picks, and Kurt, you're talking about going in and taking that quarterback, even though you know you're going to miss out on other players. There's some risk there. You got to take a risk.
Go ahead, Kurt.
I was going to say, there's definitely a risk, especially with me. For a couple years in the league, I was the quarterback killer. Every quarterback that I drafted got injured halfway through the season, so... I always look at defensive players in the first couple rounds, but I haven't got the guts to do it yet. I just think that defensively, points wise, the linebackers and defensive backs, and they're so flush. The top 250 players. 90% of them are linebackers and defensive backs, and quarterbacks. So I haven't been able to pull the trigger on one of those top-tier linebackers or defensive players yet in the first couple rounds, but it's something that I always consider.
Brian?
Go ahead. Sorry about that. I was taking care of some other fantasy football business.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. I got a comment on this one in the sense that last year Andy Wellman, the Kenosha Commandos, took J.J. Watt. I think it was like eighth. It was that early, 8 to 10, somewhere in there. And, he had one of his best seasons in a long time. So definitely going defense early works. And if you just muster up enough guts to do it, of course you have to pick the right player. Let's move on to another topic. What sites, websites, or magazines, different information sources, do you guys like to patron? Brian?
Kurt, why don't you go ahead and start with that one? Oh, okay, yeah, no problem. I have a couple magazines that, right around this time of year, I look at making the purchase on, and the first one's called Fantasy Football Index, which I've always enjoyed. I felt that that one there gives you some good detail. A website that I recommend and that I use is called footballguys.com. that there, you know, it gives you some good information up to the latest minutes during the course of the year, as well as up to the draft. You know, but as far as during the course of the year, some of the best information is just following Twitter. You know, if you follow your teams on Twitter, you'll get some excellent information as far as injuries and updates, you know, trades, what have you. And that's going to go ahead and keep you informed and in the loop.
Kurt, how about you? Do you have some favorite publications or websites that you like to go follow? Guys on Twitter?
I haven't done the Twitter thing yet. That does sound interesting, Brian. I might have to look into that, steal that from you. But I agree with Brian. I definitely use the Fantasy Football Index magazine. I think that's one of the better resources for fantasy football around. One website I use is called RotoWire, and they really, to me, they have very in-depth analysis, and they very up-to-date reviews on players and whether guys are injured or what guys are doing in camp, you know, whether guys are, whether coaches like them or whether they think they're going to, you know, they're going to bench them for the week or something like that. So I like RotoWire.com.
Good tips, guys. I think it's really good for ownership in general, guys that listen to this podcast, to just hear different sources of information that they might know or not know that's out there that they could give a shot at. So that's why I asked that question. Next up, how do you like to prepare for the draft? Do you use sheets, magazine rankings? Brian, we're going to start with you first again.
Yeah, again, that goes back to footballguys.com. That one there goes ahead and there's a few different writers on there that go ahead and rank everybody per position. So basically what I like to do is a couple days before the draft, print out three of the four guys, the guys' information, and then kind of tally out my own sheets and kind of do my own highlights. And, you know, the biggest thing in anything when you're doing your draft and doing your preparation is finding the sleepers. You know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, sleepers were the big thing. I think nowadays the word sleeper gets a little bit more buried and a little bit more convoluted. And what I mean by that is that, you know, it's so much information is out there that it's hard to really nail down someone who's going to go ahead and just be a quiet guy who's going to go ahead and do the job for you. That's going to be a surprise. You know, if you look back in 2000 and, you know, I think it was the year 2000, 2001, Sean Alexander, you know, he was a first-round draft pick in the year 2000. And then in 2001, he finally got his starting shot at about week four after Ricky Waters went down. And, you know, people didn't have him pegged very high. I thought of him as being a great sleeper at that point. And sure enough, he came around, had about a 1,600-yard season, you know, 12, maybe 13, 14 touchdowns that season in his second year. So, that was really remarkable.
Hey, when you tell that story, Brian, when you tell that story next year, will it be 14 touchdowns? Hey, let's give Kurt a chance to chime in on this one. Kurt, how do you like to prepare for the draft? Cheat sheets, magazine rankings, bring a computer in like some of our fellow owners, Bill Novak and Gar, come to mind?
I'm a Microsoft Office junkie, so I really like, you know, just ranking my, I'll go through magazines, but I'll rank players myself. Usually I try to use what King for a Day website has for points rankings last year or the year prior, and then try to go after that, whether I think, you know, guys are going to produce the same amount or if they'll drop down and stuff like that. But I usually make up my draft sheets myself and stuff like that.
I go the Paul Sobish route and just look at whatever Borkowski brings in.
Probably the wrong information.
Kujawa bring in. Yeah, just let them draft for me. It usually turns out okay. I tell you what, let's move on. Who should be first in the upcoming draft? 2015 draft. You have, each of you, picture yourself, you have the first pick in King for a Day's scoring system right now. No changes with the offseason here. What do you do with that first pick right now? Kurt, you're leading on this one.
I go with Aaron Rodgers. He's been a top producer for the past probably 5 years. And, I mean, the guy gets the guy gets sacked like almost 40 times a season, and he still puts up just amazing numbers. So, to me, he's definitely an elite quarterback, and he always ends up within the top five quarterbacks, and I think of total points in King for a day. So, he's definitely a guy that I can count on that I know with the first pick that I'm not going to lose my money on.
And, Brian, what about you?
Well, you know, before we were talking about Tom and traded. Yes. But if nobody was willing to be a trade partner for me, I would go ahead and do the route of what Tom and Andy did, and I'd trump them all by taking a first-round pick and taking a defensive guy there. So,
yeah,
just to be in the record book. Just to be the talk of the town.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's keep going here. Anyone that scares you guys this year in the first round or just early picks that you can think of, you know, just a player that you think, man, the bottom's just due to fall out. So let's go over to Kurt, you first, Brian second.
Ooh, this is, I would say DeMarco Murray. I don't think he's going to replicate what he did. And this is, you know, I'm partly biased because I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't think he's going to replicate what he did in Dallas. It's a completely different offense than Philly. And I just don't think he's going to do what he did in Dallas. He might still have a 1,000-yard season, but I don't think he's not going to have the season that he had last year.
Brian, what about you? Anybody scaring you?
You go ahead and you say that. And I mean, Odell Beckham, I think that he's going to not have that same season as he did last year. I'm not really sure what why I'm saying that, you know, but I just don't think that Odell Beckham is going to produce the same year that he had last year. Everyone keeps talking about the catch on Monday night against the Cowboys when he had that one-handed grab and saying that was the best catch ever, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, that's a tough place to be in, be a rookie, and then to come back out the second year and produce those same numbers, that's a lot of pressure on him.
Sure, I agree, Brian. I agree.
Oh, well,
guys,
thanks.
Hey, guys, two more questions, and we've got 2.5 minutes to do this. So I missed the question earlier. The league's kickoff meeting is going to be coming up. If there was one thing you could change about the league, what would that be?
Kurt, go ahead.
Okay. I would like to see, you know, a possible some type of penalty for a guy starting players on bye weeks. I like to keep the league competitive. I just think, you know, when guys do that, it takes away from the competitive of the league. And I'm not, you know, I've done it before and stuff like that, and it's all, you know, I'm not calling anybody out because,
sure,
you know, I've done it before. But, you know, I want to keep the league as competitive as possible. And I think that, you know, if we do that, you know, it helps keep the competitiveness in the league, and it keeps guys from competing and stuff like that.
Brian, 30 seconds to left. How about you?
You know, we always have the divisions colored named, and underneath red and blue and purple. And, you know, I've always disliked that, you know, myself. I've always felt that King for a day, where does red, purple, blue, orange, green, you know, where does that come into play? I just never really understood that.
Okay, I don't know where orange came from. You're completely out of line.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, I like to see that a little bit more themed up with the, you know, more like a Renaissance type feel, you know,
gotcha,
as far as kings, queens, and jokers, and
swords
and bows. All right, go
less
ahead.
Less than a minute. Here's what I want. Predictions from the two of you, starting with Brian, then to Kurt. 10 seconds, 15 seconds. What's your prediction for this year for your team? Take a guess at what pick you'll get in the draft. Go ahead, something crazy.
Well, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to predict that I don't have a first-round draft pick, so I will trade it away. And as far as my record for the end of the year, you know, I'd love to go ahead and go 12-0, and that's my big goal,
Brian,
for every season. So that's what I'm predicting. No first-round pick and 12-0.
Kurt, 10 seconds.
Championship and 11th pick in the first round.
Championship and the 11th pick. All right, guys, our episode is about to end. A bunch of guys with a little bit too much time on our hands. Thanks for joining us on the King for a Day podcast.